Thank you, AJ. And I don't know if there's a box on there for a retired pastor's fund or... Worth a try, right? Excuse me. Well, today we celebrate our freedom as a nation. Tuesday is July 4th. Apparently people around my house don't realize that it's not until Tuesday. Right? Have you been hearing that? My goodness. And I wish they would tithe on all the money they spend on fireworks. That would be awesome. And do them more up in the North End, or Fulton maybe. I want to talk to you today about, first of all, before we say that, aren't those flags cool? Yeah. Out in the front there. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. Freedom is not free, right? That's not new. I mean, we know that. I want to ask you this: what do you have that you wouldn't mind losing it for somebody to just take it? You have anything like that? This right here, you know, some fat, that would be all right to lose. Oh. Worry, maybe. There's probably some things that you can think of. What don't you want to lose, though? Aren't there some things you just don't want to lose? By the way, for those of you that are looking for an outline, there ain't one. Okay? Or actually, you create your own, flip your bulletin on the back, and there's lines there for you to write on. You may want to write some of the amazing things I will say, or better yet, the scripture. Oh, moving right along. So what are some of the things you would not want to lose? Say, your house. If you own a house, you wouldn't like to, or even if you rent a house, you wouldn't like to lose that. You know, you would like to hold on to that. Your car, even though you have an old car, if you have an old car, like I do, my old car runs just fine and looks fine, and so I'm happy with it. I'm not looking to lose it. If you have jewelry, I'm sure you wouldn't want to lose that. Even it might even be cheap jewelry, you know, that sometimes you wear, but still, you know, you don't want to lose that. Don't want to lose your phone. I mean, above all, you don't want to lose your phone, right? Or your iPad, or something like that. We don't want to lose our health. You know, these are things that we value. Our family, you don't want to lose our family. Our pet, even if it's a cat, you know, you probably wouldn't want to lose the cat, would you? Or the dog, or anything like that. You know I was going to bring that in, didn't you? Somehow. Pick on cat people. And, of course, we would not want to ever lose our freedom that we have in this country. And we would not like to lose the freedom that we have in Christ. And so, not wanting to lose any of those things, what are you doing and what am I doing to make sure that I don't lose those things? What are we doing to protect those things or those people? You know, there's the enemy is waiting, and that word can mean anything about, can it? That can mean the enemy of our soul, the enemy, Satan. That can mean your neighbor. It can mean our enemies of the United States, and we have plenty of those that are waiting at the door to take away the things that we have. All of those things are. I remember when I was in junior high school, and I rode my bike down to the YMCA, went in there and did whatever I did. I think it was swam back then, and came back outside and it was gone. I looked all over the place. It was gone. Somebody had stolen it, and I think I eventually got it back. Ended up at the police station. And I got it back, although it was missing, you know, a couple things. And Also, I had Sandy and I were away on vacation a number of years ago, and we came back home, opened the door. As soon as we opened the door, we knew something was wrong because all the cupboard doors were open. We came through, and stuff was all over the floor. And in other words, we had a home invasion. Somebody broke into our home, and as I've said before, they stole every cent I had, all 25 bucks. And they stole some jewelry, some keepsakes, a laptop computer, and just a bunch of possessions that we had. And thanks to some really skillful work by CPD, Clinton Police Department, we almost all of our stuff was returned, which is amazing. Really, it's just amazing because that's not normal. That usually doesn't happen, but we thank God and our police work for that. It was pretty cool. Once something is in your possession, you don't want to lose it, and so you may want to fight to keep it somehow. That might not be necessarily, duking it out or something like that, but you want to stand fast and make sure that your freedom and the things that you have did not get stolen and taken away. And so I want to talk to you today about standing in your liberty, standing for your freedom. There have been people down through the ages, through history, who gave away their freedom because they were unwilling to fight for it. They thought maybe we could, love our neighbor and the Bible tells us to love our neighbor, right? But it also tells us to watch out for our enemies. And so there's a good balance that we need to have there. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul the Apostle to the Galatians says, "You've been set free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened or entangled again by a yoke of slavery." If you read Paul or the book of Galatians, Paul starts out by saying, you can almost hear him go, "Oh, Galatians, what is wrong with you?" Because they gave up the freedom that they had in Christ. The Jew was so, all he had known all his life was the law. You obey the law and you're good. That's all you have to do. You obey the law and you're good. And that not only was the Ten Commandments, that was all the other commandments that along with it included you can't wear blended clothing. You can't wear clothing that has wool and other materials in it. That's a no-no. You can't do that. So a lot of us, probably most of us, would be illegal here this morning, with our clothing. But that was including the law. So all they had to do was obey the law and they were good. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did away with all of the law having to be obeyed. And what now is we have freedom with Christ, or freedom in Christ because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean, the Bible teaches and Paul teaches, doesn't mean the law is no good. No, the law shows us the intent of God's love for us and what he intends for us. It also shows us how sinful we are, because nobody can fully keep the law all the time. And so that's why Jesus had to come. And now we have the Holy Spirit within us. And as we are keeping our face toward Jesus Christ, toward loving him, that we obey the law. We obey the rule and the law of Christ. But the enemy, Satan, wants to take you back into the bondage of the law. This is what Paul was saying to the Galatians. Satan wants to do it. These Judaizers want to do it. And their thing was, they said, okay, Jesus is good. Yeah, we love Jesus. Thank him for what he did. But you also have to obey the law, or it's not good. And Paul was saying, no, that's not it at all. We follow Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift. So what do you have to do to get a gift? You don't do anything. If you do anything, then it's not a gift. It's wages. So the enemy wants to take you back into the bondage of the law, and it's your job, my job, to resist, to stand fast, to fight. When he says stand here, that's a term that means don't let anybody push you. You know, don't anyone let anyone move you. You know and stand in the truth of the Word of God that He has given to you. You might not feel like that. You might not feel free. You might not feel saved. Who was it? Billy Graham said, if I just depended on my feelings, I wouldn't be saved half the time. So we don't depend on that, do we? We depend upon the Word of God, what the Word of God says. We know and we stand in the truth of the Word of God, not our feelings. So we might feel bound, we might feel not free. It's kind of like, let's say you were in jail. I want to ask for a show of hands, how many have been there? I've been in jail as a visitor. And I was also in jail to bail out a friend of mine, which that's another story. Maybe I can tell you sometime. This was in Bible college. Anyhow, yeah. He was one preparing for it to be a pastor. Yeah. And he was speeding. Imagine that. No Christian would do that. Oh, boy. Okay, I'll move on here. Okay, so you're in jail, and someone has made it possible. They have declared you free, and all the jail doors are open. People who are in there were people like you. I'm not talking about regular criminals, you know, that belong there, but I'm talking about people like you and I who have sinned and we're in this jail. But someone has paid the price and has taken our penalty upon him, and so the jail doors are open. But the jailer doesn't like this, and so he's saying, they're really locked. You know, they might be closed. They might look like they're unlocked, like they're not locked, but they are. So you can't go. And this is the job of Satan. This is what he does. You can't go. You're not forgiven. After what you did, oh man. You know, nobody's as bad as you. We've all heard that, those kind of things, you know. The enemy has told us all that nonsense. And so by false sense of lack and shame, condemnation that he puts on us, he reminds you of your failures, your sins, through lies and half-truths. That's what he does. And so here you are, you're in jail, but you could be free. You are free, but you're just not out of jail because you haven't come out. That's up to us. And there is documentation that we are free. It's not just somebody, we heard it or we saw it on Facebook. You saw it on Facebook, you know it's... Oh, no. But there's documentation that you are free. So that's what we depend on. We don't listen to the jailer because he's not going to tell us the truth. I am talking not about our jail in the city, okay? Because... we love our officers that work there. But the jailer, the enemy of our souls, he tells us that we are not free. But we have documentation. The scripture, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36, he said, if the Son sets you free, and he was talking about himself, Jesus. If he sets you, he says, if I set you free, you're free. And nobody else can tell you different. Nobody can lock you up. And that's the truth. So we need to encourage ourselves today and be encouraged. Allow yourself freedom. The freedom to know that If you are knocked down, if you feel, you know, you've lost some steps, you've done something wrong, and you've been knocked down, here's what you do. Get up. And, you know, it might be hard to get up. How many of you have a hard time getting up? I do. You know, you'll see me walking around back here or crawling around on the floor and plugging things in. And I usually look around to see what else I can do while I'm down there, you know. But if the enemy knocks you down, you get up. Don't stay there. If you need help, if I need help, you know, I pull myself up by the microphone stand there. I do that all the time now. But if you need help, you call out to somebody. Call out to Jesus. Call out to your brother or your sister in Christ. Say, hey, I messed up. I just need to tell somebody. And make sure you tell somebody that you know will not, you know, tell all of Clinton. You may be careful with that. But you take a hand and ask for help. Ask somebody. The document is valid. You are forgiven. He whom the Son sets free is truly free. We confess our sins. He is what? Faithful. He's just. And He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The document is there. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. You're liked by your Heavenly Father. You know He likes you. That's sometimes hard to hear, isn't it? You know, we know God loves us because it's like His job. You know, it's because that's who He is. He's love. But He likes you too. And He knows everything about you. He likes me, and He knows every single thing about me. We can all clean up, look good, you know, and come here on Sunday, put on a, you know, our Sunday best, whatever that might be, and we can look pretty good. But Jesus loves you. God, your Father loves you, and He likes you. He likes you. He'd like you to follow Him. And as you do that, you become truly free. Let me find my place here. The Scripture tells us that the enemy hates us. And as we, you know, as you begin to experience some of the freedom that you have in Christ, you know what the jailer will do. Get back here! Who do you think you are? Teaching in OSL. Give me a break. You can't do that. I know stuff about you, the enemy will say. And our answer is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our answer is the Word of God. Just like Jesus did it, we declare the Word of God over ourselves. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? Yeah, well, yeah. That's welcome to life. Life is hard. You notice that? Life is hard. It is hard. Anything, somebody told me, anything that is worthwhile is hard to do. And that's the truth. Yeah, it's hard to do. It's hard to keep that money in your pocket when you have it and you just really would like to have a blizzard. I know, I should. Oh man, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Oh! I may as well have told you, don't think about a blizzard. Because now that's all you're going to think about. Anything worthwhile is hard. But we stand on the truth of God's Word and we don't squander our freedom. Going back to the old ways, old habits, old friends, doing that old stuff again. No. Do you ever wish you were rich? Glenn Williams told me today, is he in here? He's probably listening. He said, I wish I'd have been born rich instead of so good looking. Oh, that's hilarious. I agree for myself. And lost on both accounts. You know what? It probably wouldn't make a difference on the rich part. It wouldn't make a difference, probably. Do you know that 35% of all inheritance gets cashed out within 2 years with nothing left? Mark Twain lost $10 million of his fortune in his lifetime. How do you lose $10 million? Man. And this statement, when Stephen Lovell used to visit his grandparents as a kid, it was like entering the world of Cole Porter or of the Great Gatsby. Those are extremely wealthy people. He estimates that his grandfather, who founded the John Forthis, trust me on that pronunciation, shirt company, he had a fortune of at least $70 million in today's dollars. But through a combination of bad decisions, bad luck, and alcohol dependency, the next generation squandered all that money, lost it all. Yeah. Yeah, the problem is, when you don't work for something, you don't value it. Yeah, typically, when you don't work for something, you don't value it. Your parents or somebody gives you some money, spend that baby, you know. If you had to sweat and work for it, you're like, it's going to cost me some sweat and some work to put that back in my pocket. I think I'm just going to keep it. You know, that's the way we save money. There have been many people before us that have paid the price for our freedom in this nation and in many other ways. If you have a freedom today, politically, if you have freedom to move about, go from one place to another, one country to another, you have freedoms. Those are freedoms that someone, probably other than you, paid the price for. I know we have some veterans in here, and they've paid that price. And we have policemen, and they pay the price, too, for us, for the freedom that we have. There are patriots and soldiers, veterans, police, as I said. We might still be, if they did not fight for the independence of our nation, we could still be under the thumb of England. And if we were under the thumb of England, who would England call to help them to fight against the Nazis in World War II? Who would they call? We wouldn't be here. We would be here as subjects of England, and maybe we'd have to fight. Would not be the same. And I doubt that it would be the same outcome. Men and women have given their lives for our freedoms. Did they do it perfectly? Did they always do it righteously? Well, no. Because they're humans like you and me. So just like you and I don't do everything right, neither did they. They did the very best they could. They followed orders in most cases. Of course, you know, please don't ever, I've told you this or said this before, don't get your information from the media. Because they have a tendency to bend it according to what they want you to hear. So get it somewhere else. I don't know where to tell you to get it, but there are some good media outlets that you can listen to. But no, of course they didn't do it, you know, perfectly. They're human beings, but they did their best. And many have given away their freedoms, hoping life would be easier without resisting, only finding that, yeah, that didn't work. Now we really are not free. Don't give any of your freedoms away. If you guys get the... how many of you read the Bible on your phone or your iPad? There's quite a few people. I do too. I've got a Bible here that's not near, is not worn out at all, because I read a lot on my iPad, and that thing doesn't wear out. But there's a Bible app called the YouVersion Bible, and they have reading plans on there. And one of the reading plans I just got through with was called Heroes of the Bible. And this reading plan, I thought it was going to be about Abraham and, you know, some of the patriarchs of the Old Bible and Moses and so forth. But it was not. It was about people like Wycliffe, people who have translated the Bible and compiled the Bible into forms that we can actually read. And it was like people like the Gutenberg Press, you know, that was, first of all, pressed the Bible to print the Bible. And it's about all of those, a lot of those people like that. In fact, there's a new museum that's in Washington, D.C. that we heard about when during our convention at Washington. It's called the Museum of the Bible. And they talk about all this. They have presentations that show these people and some of the original manuscripts that these men and women used to copy the Bible and so forth. These are truly heroes too that have given us a different kind of freedom. How many of you know Hebrew and Greek? What? Nobody? Well, we would be sunk, wouldn't we, if we needed to read the Bible and we didn't know Hebrew and Greek. But some people translated all that into language that we can understand it. And now we have a bazillion of those in English, don't we, that say it every which way that, you know, can be said. And thank God for that. I thank God for that, because that just makes more of the Word of God available to us. But that's a freedom I see as a freedom, that we can read the Word of God. We can absorb it into our lives and not have to go to somebody else to read it to us. So those who there were those who copied it and preserved it, and they would not, there were people who were asked to change words and change sentences in it because it didn't fit their sin. That, you know, there was one story that I still can't think of the name of that story. I told this in the first service, and I was trying to remember the name of that, where this man of the Bible was asked to absolve this king of a sin that he committed, you know, and to change what it said in the Bible. And he said no. And so he was executed. There's people like that all the way back through history that have given their lives because they said, no, that's what it says, and I'm not changing it. That's what the Word of God says, and I'm not changing it. Now, that takes some courage, doesn't it? It takes some courage. Many of them gave up even their eyesight. Can you imagine before the presses came just copying this by hand? Just go home and copy down the book of Psalms. Just write it out. Let me know how long that takes. I could type it, and it would take much longer than that, probably. My typing is so bad. But they lost their, you know, they have lost their lives or reputation just by saying no. We will not concede what we know to be right. You know this quote of Edmund Burke, who said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing." Well, I say this about the Church of the Open Door here. We are not those who would give it away by doubting that we have the true, inspired Word of God. We believe this is the true, inspired Word of God. I'm not giving it away. I'm not backing off on that. And you may be more educated than me or have read more books on it. I believe and I trust the Word of God, and I trust the God of the Word that would prepare this for me. Christ died for our freedoms. He died to free us from fear, to free us from shame, to free us from sadness, and from the law, meaning the law of the Old Testament. So what is our part? Well, there may be times when we need to fight for what we know to be right. And sometimes that may mean, getting into a physical fight. I don't mean fighting someone over opinions. I mean standing your ground, when you know something is right or when it isn't right. There's a passage in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 to 8. You can read it on your own, but sometimes I'll read this at funerals. Because it says there's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. Everything. Time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time for peace and a time for war. You just go through that, those eight verses there, and it just goes back and forth and covers pretty much everything in life. But this is the Word of God. So what do? We stand and fight. I know some people who they're just fighters, They're just ready to go at it at any time. When we were in Israel, I remember seeing this, people that were, I guess you could call it discussing, but man, they were going at it. They were just, and just spitting on each other more or less. They were going at it so much. But they were just, they were standing their ground. And that's, that's the way they argue. We don't do it that way. Some people do. But I had a friend who's going on to be with Jesus now, and he was a fighter. I remember that he used to take me around town when we came here, and we would get on projects together, and he would say, we'd drive through and say, "Oh, I used to go to school here." And we used to fight right out there by that tree. I said, "Fight? What'd you fight about?" He said, "We just fought. We like to fight. We just get into it, and wrestle." That's, women don't understand that, guys, some do, I believe. And they just have, Pete, this is Pete Fredrickson. How many of you know Pete? He just had that, I would come in before he passed away, this went away from him, but he'd get in there and, some of the young guys would try to box him and he'd just clean their clocks, he'd slap them silly before they knew what was happening. But he was just a fighter. He had that, spirit in that fiery spirit in him. I loved that about him. I thought I want him on my side, definitely. We stand and fight. Future generations are going to say something about us. They're going to say they gave their all or they gave it all away. And I'm not giving it all away. Of the Word of God or anything else that I have to do with. I stand and I contend, and I believe that's the kind of church we are. And we're not giving those things away. They gave their all, and we should do the same. They preserved our freedoms for us, and we need to do that for the future generations. I want to do that for my grandchildren. And their grandchildren. The Holy Spirit taught us how to battle the correct way. Some days it seems like the world is against you, doesn't it? Ever had any days or weeks like that? You know, I've talked to people, and I've had them too. I mean, just everything goes. Everything breaks, and everybody gets upset. Family's pushing all your buttons. You know, stepped on the last nerve. Car broke down. Dropped the phone in the toilet. Doctor gave me a bad report. You know, and on and on and on it goes. It can all kinds of stuff happen. And I know people have had weeks like that, including the phone part. And, you know, when those kind of things happen to us and we get upset, the most fleshly and natural thing for us to do is start arguing with each other, fighting with each other, not in the good way. Sorry, Emily, I got you tickled there, didn't I? But when that happens, you know, what do? We just need to take a breath, step back. My problem is I don't take the step back and the breath right away. You know, it's like after I'm finally embarrassed myself, then I, oh man, you know, I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that. Take a deep breath and just say, I'm going to fight the right way against a real enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says that our struggle is not against, I'll paraphrase it for you, it's not against people. Our struggle is against the real enemy, Satan, and his foe. And the way to fight them is not with fists or guns or anything like that or any kinds of those things. The Bible has given us, God has given us spiritual weapons. And so those are the kind of weapons we use. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's the way to fight. And back into Ephesians chapter 6, I read to you part of chapter 12, or verse 12, sorry. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 is right after the list of the armor of God. You know, we put on the whole armor of God. But a lot of times we stop too short, because verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. There's our power. That's where our power is. It's not in, you know, I can take you. It's in carpet time. You know, getting down on our face before the Lord and seeking His face and praying. Praying for our nation. You know, praying for our generals. Praying for our president. Praying for all those who lead us. So it's important that we fight to stay free. And this is the fighting I'm talking about. It's in prayer. Men and women paid for our freedom. We may need to fight to stay free as a nation, as an army or a navy or air force or marines or the Coast Guard or any of our men and women who fight for us. We may need to fight that way as a nation. We also need to fight as believers and stand in the liberty that Christ is. And don't just stop letting the enemy push you around, me around. It's like, no, I know the truth. This is the truth. I'm free. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned. You're the one that's condemned, Satan. Jesus died and rose again from the dead and gave us His Holy Spirit. So we must stand in that freedom and not give in to Satan's threats. It wasn't free, was it? Jesus paid the price, but it's complete. Amen. Our freedom is complete. And We will not squander it away. I want that. I believe that that's the church of the open door here. We're not squandering it away. We're not squandering our freedom. We're not giving our freedom away to anybody. No, we're not giving our national freedom away. And I'm not giving my freedom away in Christ. I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much today for your great love for us. Thank you, Almighty God, for our freedom, for the men and women who made it possible. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we celebrate, especially on Tuesday, 4th of July. Thank you for the patriots, Lord, who gave of themselves, lost their houses, many of them, their families, lost their livelihoods to gain freedom for their nation. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for our men and women of the military who give themselves. Thank you for those who gave, Lord. Thank you for our police men and women right here in our area. Thank you, God, Lord. We pray, we hold them up, God. Remind us. Lord, Holy Spirit, you see when they are especially stressed. We pray that you would just call us, Holy Spirit. Wake us at night to pray for them. Lord, I pray for the leaders of our nation. I pray for our president. Pray for our vice president, Congress, Supreme Court, Almighty God. Pray that you would give them supernatural wisdom that's from you. I pray, O God, that many of them, I know that many do seek your face. Lord, even for those who do not seek your face, I pray that you would give them your wisdom. Even if you have to make them think that it's their wisdom, that's okay. In time, they will discover it's yours. Pray, O God, that you would keep our nation free. Pray, O God, that the leaders of our nation, our generals, and all those who are in authority in our military, Lord, will not be fooled by any enemy. And I pray that we will not be, Lord. God, we're so thankful. And we thank you, Jesus, for the freedom above all freedoms. That we are free in Christ. Free from the power and the penalty of sin. Thank you, O God, that that freedom is available and is still there in the countries of our world that are not free in any other way. But they are free in you. Thank you for that, Almighty God. Lord, I pray that as Tuesday rolls around, and as we hear the fireworks going off, Lord, that we will not forget to give you thanks and pray and lift up our nation, Lord. God, we give you thanks for that today. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for all of this. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Warrior of warriors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up today. Just enjoy the season. Don't get hurt by the fireworks, okay? Those of you that are firing it off. Especially those who are doing it around my house. Man. Woo. God bless you. Have a good day. Have a good week. Oh, hey, can I have your attention real quick here? Tonight is praise and worship. Time for us to worship our awesome, mighty God. So come expecting God to show up. He always does. 6 o'clock. God bless you. I need help.